Hello, my friend. Thank you for joining me. I'm Paul White. This is the Deeper Daily Podcast, and it's the 25th day of June, and we are in the second chapter of the book of Genesis in our journey of trying to make sense of and learn how to interpret, maybe through a few different lenses, some of these verses that have to do with the creation. We are in the seventh day of creation, and really, on the seventh day, only one thing is created, and that is the concept of rest. Up until the seventh day, there has been no concept of rest. There's been the evening and the morning were the first day, the evening and the morning were the second day. It doesn't say it in a way as if you get to the end and God goes to sleep. In fact, it's interesting that it was always the evening and the morning. So the day would start at night, which it really still does, even on our clock. We start the day in the evening at 12:01 in the morning. What we would call 12:01 in the morning, it's still evening, and then the daytime or the light time is the first day. But interestingly, pretty much we go work day, then evening, evening equals sleep. And so evening and morning being a day might be a narrative way of showing us that God is not resting in between these epochs of creation. God is not taking a break. Something is actively happening all of the time. And it's not until God gets to the end of the creative process that he establishes the concept of rest. Now, interestingly, the universe is not finished expanding. Things are not done growing on our planet to this day. Things are changing and moving. And so we are not to assume that the end of the sixth day means nothing else happens. That seems wrong, because we know stuff happens. We also cannot, because the Bible goes on, we cannot assume that the fact that God finishes his work and then rests on the seventh day means that God washes his hands, sit back in his easy chair, sticks his feet up and goes, good luck. Kind of like the clockmaker's version of the universe. He builds it, he winds it up, and then he steps back to watch his clock go to work. And if we destroy the clock, then the clock is destroyed. That's not the God we see throughout the Bible. We don't see a God who is disinterested, who finished his work at the end of the sixth day, and now he's not doing anything else. So what we don't assume, based upon where we know the Bible goes, we don't assume that the seventh day means God's not involved, or that God doesn't care, or that God isn't working anymore. In fact, what we learn as we really pay attention to the seventh day and then how it gets used throughout the Bible, the seventh day is a cease from creation, and the Father has been actively working in his creation ever since. And so a first day of work really flows out of a seventh day of rest. This gets picked up in full color at the resurrection, because our teaching is that Jesus resurrects the day after Sabbath. Well, Sabbath is day seven. That's the day we're talking about. The resurrection of Jesus occurring the day after Sabbath occurs on the first day of the week, but in a sequential look, it occurs on the eighth day. Think about it. If the Sabbath is day seven and Jesus resurrects the day after, there is really no eighth day. There's just a renewed first day. So Jesus resurrects on a first day. He resurrects following a Sabbath. So the day following the Sabbath becomes yet another indicator of fresh work being done from a place of rest. So God finishes the work of creation, he rests, but he isn't finished because he continues to father what he creates. And so in some respects, we have to learn a Sabbath principle in that we have to learn that there needs to be rest that follows our work, but a true Sabbath principle is work that springs forth out of our rest. You say, where do we get that idea? We get that idea from Jesus, and not simply from the resurrection of Jesus, but we get that idea from the fact that Jesus doesn't seem to have a problem doing good on the Sabbath. And it's one of the great challenges, one of the great arguments that Jesus finds himself in with the religious leaders of his day is his insistence to continuously heal on the Sabbath. In fact, the Gospels go back to that over and over and over again. That day was the Sabbath. It was the Sabbath. See, Israel believed that their nation could be cursed for Sabbath breaking. On tomorrow's podcast, we're going to dig into that a little bit. I want to show you some Old Testament for that. But just keep your mind on Jesus. Well, that's always a great place to keep your mind on, right? But as you keep your mind on Jesus, what you will find is that Jesus, who continuously touches and heals and blesses on the Sabbath day, argues against them when they bring that Sabbath argument to him. They keep saying, you're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. And Jesus keeps pointing them back to moments of where God, like Hosea 6, where God preferred mercy over sacrifice. And that word mercy is translated loyalty. What loyalty is Jesus talking about? Because they're arguing for a loyalty to the Sabbath, but Jesus is arguing a loyalty to something bigger. And you might say, what could be bigger than the commands of God? Well, Jesus thought doing good was more important than doing right. And so while it might be legally the right thing to do in the time of Jesus, as far as Sabbath observation, Jesus felt that once your legal right supersedes doing good to your neighbor should win. And so Jesus gives us a new way to understand the Sabbath. Not as a day in which we do nothing, but as a lifestyle in which we do good. Resting in the goodness of our Father and how He has finished the work, so that we can reciprocate that love and that work into whomever He puts in our path. And that then becomes the New Testament version of Sabbath. And so we don't see the New Testament writers insisting on a literal Sabbath day observance, because we watch the Christian understanding of Sabbath start to rotate around Jesus versus the Jewish understanding of Sabbath rotating around the Sinaitic covenant. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And this has been one of the great debates of Christianity ever since, is what does that mean? And for me, I try to land at Jesus. So watch Jesus, who doesn't treat the day as if he does nothing in it. He treats the day as if it's an expression of his Father's ability to create an eighth day. It's an expression of his Father's ability to finish work and from the place of rest do something in the world. Okay, more on Sabbath in the next couple of days. Tomorrow we'll introduce the Sunday drop as well. See you then. God bless.